morning to turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter.
If the Lord had let me sometime just preach through the book of Isaiah, there are so many things I've come across in the past year, I'm going to say, and gets me to think. Where in the Bible that you get studying, you're going to find out you don't know as much about it as maybe you thought you did. There's just so many interesting things in the Bible. And even tonight, if the Lord will let me, I want to try to preach on something that I had never seen before until yesterday, and I got studying. And I'll tell you, you preachers know how it is. It's hard to study for two messages at once and feel like you do either one any service. And so I want to read this morning out of Isaiah chapter number 3 and the first 8 verses. That's on, does it? The sound man's getting me. The light's on and the thing seems to be plugged in. All right, Isaiah chapter number 3. Let's read verses 1 through 8. And then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Isaiah, this morning, that the Lord would help me. I feel especially needful of the Lord's help today. And so I appreciate your prayers. And that His will would be done in the message today. Isaiah chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. For behold, the Lord of hosts doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50 and the honorable man and the counselor and the cunning artificer and the eloquent orator. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. When a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, Thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be an healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people. For Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of his glory. Let's pray. Lord, we just come this morning, and I want to thank you for all the blessings that you've given to us. Lord, as we come today, I ask for your help. I ask, Lord, that you'd give great liberty. Lord, we read and studied this morning in the Word of God where the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. And God, we feel ourselves needy this morning of thy help. God, just like you've helped in the past, I pray for your help, your guidance this morning. I pray you'd speak to our hearts. I pray you'd remove every hindrance. I pray, Lord, you'd encourage us today. From the Word of God, I pray, Lord, for your people everywhere. As we look around and we see what we consider many times to be depressing days and an outlook, Lord, that just certainly doesn't seem very hopeful. But Lord, I ask that you'd help us to be reminded today where our hope is and who our hope is in. And Lord, I pray that our faith would be increased from the Word of God today. Thank you, Lord, for the Bible. Thank you, Lord, for the presence and power of your Holy Spirit. And I ask that you just speak to hearts and have your way this morning. Lord, we thank you for all the blessings that you've given to us. Lord, thank you for salvation. Lord, thank you for saving us, God, today as we think about how unworthy we are. But Lord, we're thankful for Calvary. Lord, we're thankful for a hope beyond this world. And I ask you to speak to our hearts today and help us, Lord. We ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. Let's read verse number 8 one more time and we'll get right into the message today. The Bible says there, for Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of His glory. Now, I'm just going to say as little about this today as I can, but I believe it all fits in. And I've said this many times before. I believe with all of my heart that the Word of God speaks to us today, right now, where we are, what we're going through, our lives, our country, our society, our schools, our everything. The Word of God is applicable for today. I think a lot of times people they'll come along and say, well, I don't get much out of the Bible. Well, either you don't read the Bible, somebody's not explained to you how up to date the Word of God is. A lot of people say, I don't understand the Bible, and really, they don't want to understand the Bible. If they did really understand the Bible, it would scare them. It might move them. It might convict them to change the ways of their life. It might cause them to seek the Lord. It might cause them to see that they're a sinner, that their works are not good enough to get them to heaven, and they need to be saved by the marvelous grace of God. The Word of God, if you'll really take it, apply it, see it for what it is, it will affect you one way or the other. But a lot of people, they say, well, I just don't understand the Bible. Well, the Bible speaks to us today, and I'm glad that it does. In just a few days, we're going to have, maybe, we might have, you know, there's a big event happening in our nation right now this morning. But we're supposed to have an election in this country. And in light of that this morning, I want to preach on the subject. And you just hang with me this morning and pray for me. I want it to be an encouragement to you, although you may not think it's very encouraging to begin with. But I want to try to preach on the subject, why it will not matter who becomes president. Why it will not matter who becomes president. Now, I am not saying this morning not to vote or to participate. I do believe it's very important that God's people vote, and especially concerning our local elections and who is put in charge. Some of these things are very, very important to how we live our lives, school boards and judges and things of that nature, and local races right here in North Carolina. It is very important that God's people vote. I'm thankful that last May during our primaries, when North Carolina voted on the marriage amendment, I'm thankful that the majority of the voting people in North Carolina turned out and voted in favor of marriage, that marriage is between a man and a woman, and that's what we recognize, and that is today the law of the land. I'm telling you, that's the most important thing that I've ever voted for in my life. So don't think that voting is not important. It is important. But what I'm dealing with this morning in light of the Word of God is that if you think, and there are some, there are many in fact, that think that either staying with what we've got in the White House or getting another somebody in the White House will change and save the country, I believe you don't know much about the way things really are. The state of our nation. Now, in Bible prophecy, we read about many different nations in the Bible. There's a lot of countries that are mentioned in the Bible that are still in existence today, and they're going to come into play in the last days. I was thinking and writing about something the other day, and I said, I believe we're in the last of the last days. We're not in that. We've always been in the last days ever since Jesus went back to heaven and the church age began, and the days of the apostles. We've been in the last days ever since those days. But time itself would let us know today that we're in the last of the last days. It ought to excite us this morning. It ought to get us to looking this morning at how things are and in hopefully anticipating the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you read in the Bible, you'll read about a lot of nations that God still has something to say about. You read about Israel in the Bible. God is not done with Israel. You read about Egypt in the Bible. God is not done with Egypt. You read about Syria and Damascus in the Bible and Lebanon in the Bible. And you read about Jordan and Amnon and Moab and all these nations. They are still there. God is not done with these nations in the Bible. But you can read the Bible from Genesis to the book of Revelation. And when it comes to the United States of America, historically or prophetically. Now there are many, many parallels. There are many, many lessons in the Bible. There's many places in the Bible that we can apply to the nation of America, but there is no specifics in the Bible when it comes to America. And that makes me think and believe this morning that although America, above all the other nations in the world, I believe America had a special divine design. I believe America had a destiny, and our destiny was to be a land of liberty and freedom where the Word of God was not hindered, outlawed, but was promoted, and a religious people and a godly people and a mission-hearted people. And certainly this morning, America has been a blessing to the whole world. And it is not because we were founded as a Muslim nation, but it's because we were founded as a Christian nation. You cannot deny that historically speaking. But when we don't read about and see America prophetically in the Scriptures, then we have to believe and realize and even teach from the Word of God that America is a temporary nation, not an eternal nation. America doesn't figure into the last days like the other nations do. And so I want to try to preach this morning on the subject, why it will not matter who becomes president. And I'm going to take this passage of Scripture and point out some things and some parallels. And of course, here's a nation that's left God. You know, that's the state that our nation's in this morning. Why it will not matter who becomes president? Number one, because we, like Israel, we have forsaken our Creator. Look what the Bible says in verse number 8. It says, "For Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen." And you ought to underline this next word in your Bible. Because. Because. And then it goes on, it says, why Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen? Because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of His glory. Proverbs 26 and verse number 2 says, so the curse causeless shall not come. I've thought a lot about that in the past year or so. The curse causeless shall not come. And what that means is when the curse comes, there's always a cause. There's a reason why things are the way they are. There is a reason why our nation is in such a terrible mess this morning on every hand. It's not just one thing, it's many, many, many things, many problems that we have, many problems that it would seem to be are overcomable as a nation. I was reading the other day about the great debt that our nation is in. Do you know we are basically a bankrupt nation? When somebody is bankrupt, it doesn't mean they don't have anything, but what it means is that their outflow greatly exceeds their income, and they just are not making enough money to make it anymore. You know, that's where we are as a nation. We're in a mess as a nation, but the Bible says, the Word of God says, because this is why the nation is ruined and Judah has fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord. To provoke the eyes of His glory. Verse number 9, the show of their countenance doth witness against them. That means their face. The face of the nation. The state of the nation is against God. show their countenance doth witness against them. And they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not, is what the Word of God says. Boy, isn't that like America? They declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Now, we would all agree this morning that sin is sin, and all sin is sin, and it's all wicked and ungodly before the sight of God. People say no such thing as big sin and little sin. I agree, it's all sin. It's all against God. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But as I read my Bible, there are certain sins that are especially grievous in the sight of God and brings about the judgment of God upon a nation. And one of those sins, number one at the top of the list, is the sin of homosexuality, the sin of sodomy, the sexual sins. And so there, it's no accident why that Judah has fallen and Jerusalem is ruined here, because they declare their sin as Sodom, is what it says. A nation that condones and makes laws favorable to homosexuality and a marriage of a man and a man and a woman and a woman. I'm telling you, that nation is under the judgment of Almighty God. Because there is a point. God's a merciful God. We've always had sin in the nation, but I'm telling you, sin is at a premium in 2012. And people are bragging about it. And our leaders promote it, and laws are being passed that condone and promote the sin of homosexuality. I never thought I'd see in all my days a time in our nation when our military would promote and condone soldiers, men marrying one another, women marrying one another. I mean, our military, once upon a time, the standard for the nation was military service. And they didn't just accept anybody in the military. You have to be fit. You have to be qualified. You have to be stable. You have to be physically fit and able to do that. But I'm telling you, morally speaking, there's no standard whatsoever. Amen. Just in the past couple of weeks, the military is, now at first when they said, all right, we're going to allow homosexuals in the military, you know, the federal government, there's a Defense of Marriage Act, which our federal government says that marriage is between a man and a woman. But the military, they do not go along with that. Well, long story short, first of all, they said, now we're not going to make the chaplains marry homosexuals if that's against their religion. That was a little over a year ago they said that. We're not going to make the chaplains go against their conscience, go against the teaching of their church. You know, a chaplain in the military, he might be a Baptist. He might be a Lutheran, he might be a Catholic, he might be a Jew. I think they've got everything else under the sun now. They said, we're not going to make the chaplains go against their conscience. We're not going to require that the chaplains go against the teachings of the church, which has sent them out. But now they've changed all that, and they said the chaplains are required to perform. You preachers, what you do? Two men called you and wanted you to marry them. I don't think Brother Melvin would do that. No, sir. Brother Jason, he doesn't shake his head. I know. But happen over thing else, I'm telling you. You cannot open the newspaper. You can't turn on the television. You can't go anywhere without seeing homosexuality flaunted before your eyes. We went through Bethel the other day. Bethel, a community in our county that probably has more churches per square mile than anywhere else. Right there beside the road on a great big flagpole way up in the air was a rainbow flag. That's a homosexual flag if you didn't know that. You see a rainbow flag? That's what that stands for. It's the homosexuals. They're proud. They're putting it in your face. We're here. You're going to accept it or not. Right over there. In the shadow of a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right across the road from where he used to live, a homosexual flag flying in the community. Somebody told me that now in one of the schools in Watauga County, they've got a homosexual elementary teacher that told their class, I don't know if it's a him or a her, but told their class of little children about how that they spent their weekends down at the lake with their partner. Once upon a time, it had never been allowed. It had never been allowed. The whole of society was against it, but I'm telling you, just see where we're going. How could that happen in this county? How could that happen in any county, any small community? Right down the road in Winston, North Carolina, just a few weekends ago, they had a big pride event. They had a homosexual event that lasted all weekend. And they had vendors and they had parties and they paraded up and down the streets of Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And they call it pride. I think that's interesting. It's that homosexuality is associated with pride. And the one thing in the Bible God says that he condemns and that comes before a fall is pride. Say, preacher, I wish you wouldn't preach on that. I wish we could go on to something else. I wish we could too. But you see, if we're not careful, here's the way it is. You go out in the world and it's in front of your face, in front of your face. And people say, well, they're teachers, they're people's neighbors. Well, they're all right. Hey, they need to be saved. They need to get the gospel. But I'm telling you, if we're not careful, we'll get to where that don't bother us. Kim and I were riding through Boone the other day. And these two girls walking down the street just like, hugged up around the neck, college age girls hugged up, holding each other, walking down the street, and we went on by, and Kim said, did you see that? And I said, well, yeah, I did, but I didn't think nothing about it. Because girls, they tend to be more huggy-touchy than boys are. Now, if it had been two boys, I'd have thought, but the more I thought about it, I told her, I said, you know, they weren't in elementary school. They probably was girlfriend, girlfriend. They too big to be walking down the street, hugged up like that. But I'm telling you, if we're not careful, it'll come right into our midst and we'll be just like everybody else and not think there's anything wrong with it. And I'll tell you, in the Bible, it's especially grievous in the sight of God. You read Genesis chapter 19, you read Romans chapter number 1, it brings about the judgment of God. And whenever a nation promotes that and condones that, that nation is on its way out. We've forsaken our Creator. Children are not safe in our schools. I've preached on that. I'm going to preach on it again. You parents had better watch where your children go, who they're with. I'd be very careful about letting my children spend the night with anybody that I didn't know a whole lot about. I've been reading in the newspaper this week about the Boy Scouts. They've come out and they call them the perversion files. 42,000 some pages of information about scout leaders down through the years from the 70s to the early 80s. That got in trouble for molesting children. This is not something that's just started happening. But they went to a man's house. He's been all in the newspaper all week long. He said, yeah, I had them over at my place. They spent the night. I said, we'll get an early start on a scouting trip. I mean, children aren't even safe in school, in church. They kicked him out of being a scout leader. He went to a church and worked in a daycare for I don't know how long. This is the society we're living in. We've forsaken our Creator. Number two, I'm moving on. We're beginning to feel our consequences. It's not going to matter who becomes president if we don't change the way we act and the way we live. If we don't get back to God and get revival in our midst, it's not going to matter. We've forsaken our Creator. Second of all, we're beginning to feel our consequences. Verse number one, the Bible said in Isaiah 3, "For behold, the Lord of hosts doth take away." You ought to underline them two words. God's taking something away. The Bible said the Lord of hosts doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the whole, or the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. Now what that's talking about, the bread and the staff, or the staff and the water, it's talking about our natural resources. It's talking about food and water. The Word of God says God's going to take away the nation that forsakes the Creator. God's going to take away our natural resources. Boy, little by little, over the past few years, it's been one thing after another. One thing after another. It's been record flooding in the Midwest just a few years ago. And then last year, it was record drought in the same place. I got to reading about that, and they said that flooding a few years ago, it washed so much sediment into the Mississippi River that they hadn't been able to get it all out. And this year, when there was a drought, and the water went down just a little bit, that they couldn't get ships up and down the river because that flooding had filled up the Mississippi with sediment. And so that was like raising the floor and lowering the roof all at the same time. And they couldn't get ships up and down the Mississippi River. Well, it hadn't mattered a whole lot because in that same area of the country, they had a record drought. We went up to Ohio, the farmers up there, and there's cornfields everywhere. And they said, we've had it a lot better off than the Indiana and Iowa and places like that. They said, we've had corn, but it's about half. It's about half. See, we're not living in the days where everybody grows a garden and raises pigs and chickens and has a milk cow and all like that. Our nation depends upon our farmers, and when our farmers lose their crops, we're in trouble, and that's where we're at. That's where we're at. We've not begun to feel all of it yet, but God said, I'll take away the stay. I'll take away the staff. I'll take away the water. When I was in Oklahoma this past spring, and I don't believe I've told you about this, but I was out visiting with Preacher Mark, and I noticed everywhere we went in his yard, I mean, their ground's just different than ours is. Great big old cracks in the yard. I mean, you can reach your hand down into all through this. I mean, where he mows, I'm not talking about that. I said, that's odd. That's odd to me. And he showed me there around his house all the dead trees that had died around the area that he lived in. And he said it's a drought. At that time, I didn't know that, but there was a bad drought last year in 2011 out there. He said farmers selling off their cattle, worried about how they're going to get hay and all these things. They'd had a little bit of rain, but I'm telling you, it's happening all around us, but you don't hear much talk about that, but it's there. God said, I'll take away your natural resources. I'm going to take away the stay. I'm going to take away the staff. It's going to affect you in this nation. And I've preached on that before. But he goes on down in verses 2 and 3. Not only are we feeling our consequences in the natural resources, God said in verses 2 and 3 something else. Now, we're still talking about what God's going to take away. He said in verse 2, the mighty man, the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50 and the honorable man and the counselor and the cunning artificer and the eloquent orator. What God's talking about there, he's going to take away. There's 11 different men that are mentioned. That's your human resources. God said, I'm going to take them away from the nation. And surely we could agree this morning and ask ourselves the question, what happened to greatness in our nation. Once upon a time, America was known for great leadership. We were known for great men. There are household names today of great men that built companies, had a positive impact on our nation and around the world. What's happened to great people like that? I know every one of you this morning knows J.C. Penney. Say, that's where we go and buy our clothes. You know, he's a great Christian man. Gave a great deal back to the work of the Lord, J.C. Penney. That man was a Christian man. And lived for God. And God blessed him and he had great company. And now it's a household name. And now Ellen DeGeneres is its spokesperson. And they're one of the first department stores that come out with same-sex couples in their advertising. And I've been watching over about the past 6 or 8 months that JCPenney's stock has been falling out of the bottom. And they're redone and trying to get people to come back to shop at JCPenney. And you know what? It might be the church that have gone and won the You can't do wrong and get right. I don't care who you are. JCPenney's been dead a long time. And it's a shame that that's what is legacy in his name, but where's the great men in our nation? Politicians, I'm sure there's some good ones, I just don't know who they are. But you know, by and large, they're known for pork, lying, promising things they're not going to come through on. They're known as accepting, they call it bribes, but you know, political donations to vote one way or another. I'm just talking about what's happened to greatness in our nation. Where's the great businessmen and bankers now? Companies and bankers, they're thought of and looked upon as crooks in our nation. That's the reputation that they have. University men, once upon a time in our nation, great leaders in our country. Now most of them are radical, left-wing, socialist-thinking men that are promoting, just like small college, big college, you know, promoting all the stuff that's degenerating our society and bringing it down, not lifting it up. Where's the eloquent men? Where's the artificer? I'm telling you, our human resources are at an all-time low in our nation. And what is going to build this nation if we don't have great people to come along? Little by little, God said, "We'll take it away. We'll take it away." Somebody asked me a while back who I was going to vote for. I said, "I'm not voting for anybody." I said, "I'm just voting against somebody." That's about the way it is now. I wish they was somebody I could go and say, "I feel good about that in my soul." No, sir. I'm just voting against somebody. That's all I've done for years and years. We're beginning to feel our consequences. Number three, look at verses 4 and 5. We have forgotten our Constitution. Look what the Bible says, verse 4. "And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable." Amen, that's where we're at. Verse number 12, "As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths." Now I happen to believe that our Constitution is a great thing. I believe that God gave that to our nation. It is based upon the principles that we find in the Word of God, and that's what makes it great. It's a biblical document, and that's why it's hated so much. But we have forsaken our Constitution, and as it said in verse number 12, our leaders cause us to err and destroy the way of our paths. If this pulpit represented our Constitution and all that we stand for, the laws of our land, then I'm going to show you where our leaders are. If
that's the Constitution. Eric, this is to your left. Here's where Obama is. He's so far away. And Romney's right here. And that's how far away all of them are. I'm telling you, you think it matters who's going to get in? There's not a dime's worth of difference between either one of them. When it comes, you'd say, well, they're talking about this and they're talking about that. What are they not talking about? You've not heard them talking about the marriage thing. You've not heard Romney come along and say that he's going to overturn what Obama done in the military and turn their military over to the sodomites. He's not going to do that because he's pro-homosexual. That's the way he was up in Massachusetts. He was pro-abortion up in Massachusetts. I'm not saying don't vote for him. I'm not saying vote for the other. I'm saying this morning from the pulpit as a preacher of the Word of God, it's not going to matter. That's not where hope is. That's not what's going to help us. Change, and we've changed and changed and changed. If we had somebody get back to the Constitution, now that would help us. That's what they're supposed to do anyway. They take an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution against all enemies, both foreign and domestic, but they do everything against the Constitution. That's why we're in a mess. We've so departed from, so forsaken our Constitution, it really doesn't even matter anymore. In the place of liberty and freedom, we have oppression now. Oppression. We're living in almost a police state in the United States of America. It said in verse 4, verse number 5, and the people shall be oppressed, everyone, by his brother. Verse 12, as for my people, children are their oppressors. When you take liberty and freedom away, oppression comes. There's no middle ground. It's going to be one or the other. We're going to have liberty, we're going to have freedom, or we are going to be oppressed. And that's the only two choices that there are. There is no middle ground. Proverbs 28 and verse number 2 says, for the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof. The more we sin, the more we lose our liberty. The more we have people oppressing and ruling over us. And you can't do nothing in this day and time, but your liberty is infringed upon. Once upon a time, it had been called for a revolution in this country, for the government or anybody in it to stop you, to look through your car, to look through your bags, to look through your wallet, to look on your cell phone without a real good reason. But now, any one of you can be stopped anywhere, and especially you go down to the airport, you might as well, you have no privacy. That is oppression. You read in the Bill of Rights about unreasonable search and seizure and all of these things. I'm telling you, when liberty goes away, oppression comes. The Department of Homeland Security, do you know, if you study about Nazi Germany, what they called, what they did to their own people, they called it Homeland Security. Where do we get all this stuff from? TSA and all, and I'm telling you, there's so much goes on. We've left it. We've forgotten our Constitution, what made us great. Number 4 this morning, look at verses 6 and 7. I must go on. We must find our candidate. He said in verse 6, when a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be an healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people. Do you see what they're doing there in verses 6 and 7? They have to find somebody to be their ruler. Some guy goes to his brother's house. He said, you got a little money. You've got nice teeth. You've got a pretty haircut. Will you come and be our ruler? Let this ruin be under my hand. Did you read that there? And he said, No, I don't want to. You know, they say that cream rises to the top. There's no cream in our nation.
See, the Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 17, God said to the children of Israel, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. We're to get the one that God chooses. But America doesn't want anybody that God would choose. And so we have to run around and find somebody and say, will you please run for president? You talk to every one of them, and they'll say they didn't want to. Back when they were trying to choose somebody, and they'd all say, well, I just don't think, you know, I don't want to, Christie wouldn't run, and Ryan wouldn't run, and all of them. Hey, I wouldn't want that mess either. Of the good ones, the halfway good ones that they are, none of them want it. Because they know enough to know that they don't want their name associated with this ruin. We've got to find somebody that's either dumb enough or so full of pride that they will run to be out to be a leader. Good people all want nothing to do with it. And that's how they were in the nation of Israel. They had to find somebody, as opposed to God choosing them somebody. And the thing now is how good of a debater somebody is. How presidential that they look. You know, I wouldn't care if a man was 110 years old, had one tooth sticking out of the side of his head, and half the people couldn't understand what he said. If he knew something about God and he could get our nation back on the right track, I'd say he'd be a good one. But that wouldn't fly, would it? You got to have a little money. You got to have the right haircut. You got to appeal to the biggest group of people and all that kind of stuff. We've got to find somebody. That's why it's not going to matter. Because we're not getting the one God would like. We're getting somebody we've picked out and chose. Last of all, there is one positive verse in all of chapter number 3. And that's what I've been trying to get to. Say, preacher, I wish you'd have got to it a long time ago. There's one positive verse, and it's in verse number 10. And I want to read that this morning in conclusion. Last of all, we must focus on our conclusion as we come down to the last of the last days. And we know the days of our nation are numbered. Look what the Bible said in verse 10. In light of all this bad news, he said, say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Boy, I like that. Say, preacher, what's going to happen in the days ahead? I don't know all what's going to happen. Hurricane Sandy might come along and wipe the whole East Coast off the face of the world. We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. But I'm telling you today, on the authority of the Word of God, it'll be well with the righteous. In spite of all that, God said, now I got a word for a little group out there. And I want you to be sure that you go tell the righteous, you ought to underline that it shall be well with him. Hey, you know what? It's going to be all right this morning. I like what it says, it shall be well with him. That reminds me of what it says over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 13 through verse number 18. We have all read it many, many times out of the graveside. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the voice, with the shout of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. In our saddest times of life, God comes along and says, here's some comfort. Comfort one another with these words. I'm going to come. I'm going to get you out of this mess. Oh, we're not hopeless this morning. Oh, the world's helpless, but we're not hopeless, thank God.
Amen. Amen.
We've got hope. We've got promise. We've got a future this morning. We've got something to look forward to. We've got the promises of the Word of God. If you are saved by the grace of God and you know it, what have you got to worry about? If you know that if you die today, you die and go to heaven, what have you got to worry about? It's going to be well with the righteous. We have a God in heaven that has promised in his word that he'd supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We get upset about how things are, but I'm telling you, America must pass off the scene. If I know anything about the Word of God, I believe that America's got to pass off the scene. And somebody will have to be president when it does. I read in history how that a man named Nero, in A.D. 64, they call it the Great Fire of Rome. And during the Great Fire of Rome, Rome just about burnt down to the ground. And they say that Nero played the fiddle while the city burned. He is crazy. He's a madman. They said that Nero is actually the one that started the fire, because he wanted to build a new castle complex in that certain area of the city. And that while Rome burned, that he dressed up in a costume and he played the fiddle and recited some play of some kind. He was into stuff like that. And so you hear that phrase, playing the fiddle while the city burns, or playing the fiddle while Rome burns. You know, if America goes down, somebody's going to have to be playing the fiddle. If this hurricane has an effect on the election and Obama gets back in, you know what? I believe with all my heart that is God's will that he play the fiddle while the nation burns. Right. If something happens in a hurricane and Romney gets in, I still believe that's God's will. Amen. Play the fiddle while the nation goes down. Let me ask you this morning. If America hit the jackpot of nations today, things turned around all of a sudden. All of a sudden, everybody out of work got their jobs back. All of a sudden, everybody that lost everything that they have over the past 4 years got their credit cards and credit reinstated. And you can just go and live like you did before. I mean, if everything turned around overnight, how grateful do you think Americans would be? You think they'd look to God and say, thank the Lord?
No,
sir. Like a bunch of hogs at the trough, they go right on living and get worse than they were before. So you think it's going to matter who becomes president? I'm trying to encourage you this morning. Praise God, it's going to be well with the righteous. The Lord's coming. Somebody's going to play the fiddle, but thank God, God's got a plan and God's bringing it about to pass. And the Lord's blessing in spiritual things. Bible said in verse number 1, and I'm closing this morning in reading this verse. You ought to underline it. The Bible said, God told Isaiah, for behold, the Lord of hosts. Do you notice that he said that twice? What's happening is not accidental. The Lord of hosts is the one that's in control of what's going on in our nation. He's got a plan and he's not done. And praise God, what is it going to be? Next Wednesday morning or Wednesday morning after next, when we wake up and we might have a new elected leader. It's not going to matter. God's still going to be on the throne. And we as God's people ought to be looking, like the Bible said in Revelation 4 and verse number 1. And the Lord had shown John all the church age and the church of Ephesus and the apostolic age and right up through the church of Laodicea and the great falling away. And they said, we're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. That is exactly where we are in America today. But I like what it said in chapter 4, verse 1. John said, after this, behold, I looked, and in heaven a door was open. Spake the trumpet, saying unto me, come up hither, and I'll show thee things which must come hereafter. That's what we've got to look forward to. So coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here and you're not saved, you need to be saved. If you're here and you're depressed, you need to get the Lord in the center of your life. If you're hearing you out of the will of God, you need to get back. You need to get in the will of God, get right with God. Because the Lord's going to come, and you're going to be ashamed if you're not. That's a whole other message. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.